I hope you enjoyed that interview with Adam Grant Warren, and hopefully some of you can get out to the Revolver Theater Festival to check out his show. Up next, we have an interview with Grant Hardy, who is a broadcast presenter for Accessible Media Incorporated. Grant Hardy was on Access Day 2 years ago for the first annual Access Day, talking about his work with the Rick Hansen Society. And today, Desi and myself, Eleanor, sat down with him to talk about his work with AMI and the accessibility of Vancouver. So don't go anywhere. Thanks for joining us. My name is Eleanor Waring, and I am one of the members of CITR's Accessibility Committee.
And I'm Desi. I am another member of the Accessible Committee.
Cool. And we are joined today by Grant Hardy. Thanks so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So to start things off, Grant, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who are you, and what are some of your favorite hobbies?
Well, I'm a former UBC student as well, and I'm currently a broadcast presenter for Accessible Media TV. And hobbies, I love the outdoors. Family is pretty important to me. I was on a dragon boat team for the last 2 summers, which I really enjoyed. But definitely enjoy technology as well. I'm pretty passionate about computers and mobile apps and stuff like that, because they're pretty empowering for me. And I also happen to be totally blind.
Cool. Thank you.
So going off of that, you're saying you're with AMI. Can you give us a general sense of what is AMI?
Well, AMI's mission is to create accessible media for all Canadians. So it's a nonprofit media company, and we actually operate 2 English-speaking broadcast channels, as well as 1 in French. And they're all included as part of the basic digital cable or satellite package at no cost. You can get them on your TV as long as you have basic cable. You don't have to pay extra for them. So AMI TV is 888 on Telus or Shaw. And so on AMI TV, we run a lot of mainstream and specialty programs from other channels, like Law & Order, SVU, Get Connected, Food Factory, that kind of thing. And we make them accessible, so they're all closed caption, but they also have description, so that if someone who's blind or low vision is watching, they will be able to follow the costume and the dialogue and all of that stuff. So if you think about, what it would be like, say, running a sitcom on the radio, it actually would be easy enough, because a lot of it would just be dialogue. But you just have to add an extra little voice to say, Wanda enters the station wearing such and such. She turns to Brent, just so that people can kind of follow what's going on screen. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So then we also have a lot of original programming, kind of on this theme of representing Canada across all the regions, a lot of empowering portrayals of people like people with disabilities. So, for instance, Sports Access focuses on para and adapted sports for people with disabilities. We have a show called Four Senses, and it's a cooking show, and one of the cooks, Christine, she's visually impaired, so it focuses on cooking techniques for people with or without sight. And then there's the show I work on. It's called AMI This Week, and there's a weekend edition as well, ATW Weekend, and it's really a magazine show, so kind of lifestyle, everything from tech to a lot of inspiring profiles of people with disabilities, events, hot topics in communities across the country. And so that's really my role with AMI. We shoot a couple stories every week, sometimes one or more, but basically 2 stories a week. And it runs on a pretty great magazine show.
What is your role in creating the show? You mentioned your title as a broadcast presenter, but what types of things do you do to help bring the stories to life?
Well, I'm the face and voice of AMI Vancouver, I guess. So when you're, you know, watching our stories, I'm the person who presents them. Anybody on our team can pitch stories. And when we are in the pre-production phase and we're working on things like, you know, really focusing what the story is going to be about, you know, coming up with prepared questions and stuff like that, you know, I'm definitely involved in that process. Obviously, I show up on site and conduct interviews with the people we're going to be featuring. Sometimes the stories are experiential based. So it would be me going through a museum with someone or something like that, just so that, you know, they could capture what it's like for, you know, someone without sight to go through, let's say, a museum and have a described tour. So yeah, there's that. And then in the post-production, it would be things like recording voiceover at our office in the studio to, so that viewers have some context as the clips are being run together.
Cool. How did you get involved with AMI?
I have been interested in voiceover and broadcasting work for quite a long time. And when I was about 11 or 12, a family friend had helped me do some fundraising. And I worked with a professional and put together a voiceover demo tape of me, you know, doing kid voices for, you know, whatever, commercials or whatever. It was really just more for the experience of doing it. And AMI was not branded as AMI back in the day, but they did have an audio reading service. And they did an interview with me about my experience. And so I was known to the company, I guess. And when AMI TV started up into, just in time for the Olympic Games in 2010, I was at UBC studying, and I was working with an agency called Neil Squire Society, which matches up people with special needs with jobs. And it turns out that AMI was looking for presenters with vision loss to share their experiences and broadcast on the channel. And it was something that I ended up being really passionate about. And joined on a casual basis in 2010 and ultimately applied for a full-time position in 2015.
Awesome. Now you said you're kind of the face of AMI for Vancouver. What are some of the recent stories you have done for AMI?
So some of the recent stories that we've done, for example, we did a story about the park or physical activity research center at iCord. And it is an accessible gym that can be used by people who have spinal cord injuries. So you have a little card that you present to each machine, and it sets the weights and stuff like that all correctly, and you're able to, you know, roll up to the machines in your wheelchair and use them with various degrees of mobility. Another great one was the Canadian Museum of Flight in Langley, and they constructed three replica World War I aircraft, which were taken to France to be used as part of Vimy 100, and they're also going to be flying over Canada, hopefully, for Canada 150 this summer. So I was able to take a tour of the aircraft and chat with the volunteers that built them, and it was super fun. We've done social enterprises. So, for example, East Van Roasters, which is an artisan coffee and chocolate shop in Vancouver's downtown east side, and they provide employment and training in a flexible manner to women in the downtown east side. We're working on a really fun piece right now that's related to blindness, where there's an organization in BC called Blind Beginnings, and they are getting a group of people together, mostly youth and young adults, and they're going to be doing the Grouse Grind in September. So we're actually going to be running a TV special all about the training process, you know, doing different hikes with varying degrees of difficulty, I, of course, will have to do the gross grind as well. so I better cut out some of the burgers. But yeah, so just really a huge, huge variety of stories.
On that note, what stories have you done that stood out to you in the past the most and why?
Well, I mean, one of the great parts about this job is the variety of stories that you get to do. And I can't think of any story that I didn't like doing. You know, I think all the stories had some, you know, a lot of positives. Just over a year ago, I went down to the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, and we produced a TV special about CES and robots and autonomous cars and accessibility technology and all that good stuff. And we ended up running into Stevie Wonder on the show floor and chatting with him. So that was definitely a highlight. Yeah, I guess last year we actually did a story about my Dragon Boat team, because I happened to join it at kind of a difficult moment, period in my life, and it turned out to be actually a really life-changing experience. So it was one of those personal stories where I just sort of opened up about myself and shared the story of my team. So that was a real highlight. But yeah, again, you know, I just really enjoy the variety of stuff that I get to do.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I'd imagine that doing different things all the time really helps to keep you from getting bored.
Keeps me out of trouble, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So switching gears a little bit to some more general concepts relating to this day of programming, we're wondering what your opinions are on accessibility. I mean, it's a big term and it's, you know, it's hard to encompass with just one word, but... do you think that Vancouver is an accessible city? And what are some of the reasons that you do or don't think this?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think that, first of all, I have to be really positive and acknowledge that for anyone, definitely with someone with special needs, and all of us are on the continuum to some extent, but for people with disabilities, this is definitely a great time to grow up in the sense that... there is a lot of accessible infrastructure in Vancouver, everything from bus stop announcements, audibly and wheelchair ramps and audible lights, and computers and technology that can be used by people with special needs. And really, I'm very spoiled by that. And definitely when I'm outside of Vancouver, you know, I really do notice the difference. I think that there is definitely work to be done in terms of improving that infrastructure. One of my real pet peeves is, you know, I think we need more audible lights at intersections. But I think that there are still attitudinal barriers and other obstacles that mean that, you know, there is a degree of people with disabilities, a high degree of people who are looking for work, or who are, you know, just kind of struggling to get by. And I think that we have a lot of room to grow in becoming more inclusive about our attitudes towards people with disabilities.
Awesome. Another general question for you. In your opinion, why do you think it's so important to have accessible media outlets such as AMI?
I think that that's a really good question. I think that it's important to be inclusive, you know, whether you're watching a sitcom to get a few chuckles or you're listening to a really serious news story that's going to maybe affect the way you vote in, you know, a democracy like Canada. You know, I think it's important to be able to have information and knowledge, and if something is preventing you, for example, you can't hear and you have no closed captions, or you can't see and you're not really sure what's happening on screen, and there are solutions to those issues, and that's really unfortunate if there aren't accessible media outlets. So I think it's really great to be inclusive. Definitely if you have watched, let's say, Describe TV, and then you decide to try and watch something that's not Described, you notice the difference. It's hard to go back. I think, again, it's an example of inclusion.
Totally. You've kind of touched on this a little bit, but if someone was looking to maybe like get involved with AMI or do more things with them, what ways is AMI accessible to the public?
Are you thinking? Can you give me an example? Like, are you thinking career wise, or
could be career, or just like the ways that folks can engage with the organization?
Well, I would definitely encourage people to visit the website AMI.ca. AMI is on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, and a lot of our original content is posted there, which really helps bring disability-related issues to the forefront and engage, kind of a mainstream audience in AMI's programming. I think AMI, AMI is out there in the community. We recently were invited to speak at some accessibility conferences around Ontario, for example, with respect to making municipal government and interested businesses more accessible. AMI attended the YouTube Accessibility Summit to teach people how to make their YouTube content a little bit more accessible. So AMI is definitely out and about, but if you'd like to engage with AMI, again, AMI.ca is the website, and you can find links to our social media channels and all that good stuff as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. Cool. Well, that kind of comes to the end of our questions. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about, or, topics that are you're burning up to discuss, or anything you want to add before we close out here?
Yeah, I didn't really cover AMI Audio, which is our other English-speaking channel.
Yeah.
And it's also on TV and online. It's kind of like a radio station, but it also airs syndicated content as well as some original programming. For example, they've just introduced two live shows. There's a morning show which gives your tech news, pop culture, accessibility, stuff like that, and then kind of an afternoon show with art and lifestyle news, and even contributors from the blind and low vision community to report on, let's say, events that are happening in their regions. People can definitely engage with the show, listen and call in and all that good stuff. So yeah, I would check out AMI Audio as well, for sure.
Cool. Okay. Thank you. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we'll be, this was part of Access Day on CITR Radio 101.9 FM. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I think I learned a lot just now.
Yeah, definitely. Cool.
And that's about to wrap it up. This has been Access Day on CITR 101.9 FM. Kelly Rayburn here, along with DB Leah. Leah?
Hi.
And then Elnor?
Yes.
So, we're coming up to our closing remarks. So, any comments?
Well, I really enjoyed today's Access Day. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it's our third year, though. It just gets bigger and better each year.
It seems like yesterday since we had, I can't remember his name. Hugo. Yeah, we had Hugo, and we had everybody on the volunteer group, and we had
Jules,
Robin, who's our program manager.
At the time. Yeah. And now we have Eleanor.
Yes.
This was your first time.
It was. It was the first time I've participated. I feel very lucky to have been a part of it, and it was really cool.
Yeah.
And, of course, so far our station moved. Mm-hmm. Hugo moved on to station manager and everything. It was just totally different from that matter.
Yeah, but it's been a lot of fun today. And thanks to our...
We got to do our big thanks to everybody.
Big thanks to AMI and then Vance, mm-hmm. who actually did live performances, not one, but twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were amazing.
Yeah.
And, Eleanor, you want to take it away?
Sure. Yeah. I was thinking that it was really cool to see those bands play live because I was remembering our old space and just knowing that it probably would have been not possible to do those two live bands in the old space. It would have been very cramped.
Mm. Yeah.
So I'm very happy that we have the space that we have and... Mm-hmm. We're able to open the doors up and have people perform and both bands. So it was Digger Dan. We had first do a solo set at 12.
Yeah.
And then we had Mark Ash's band. And That's What She Said play at 2. And they were both so pleasant and also happy to be here. So that was really, really cool.
Yeah. And hopefully we can do something more with them or Vans in the near future.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank Dave Thompson from the Richmond Disability Center for phoning us in. And thank you so much. And I would also, I'd like to thank all the people as well, breaking the barrier. And of course, the live performance of Mark Ash. That was really fun to have the performers in. So,
Yeah, and thanks to Grant Hardy from AMI for doing the interview. Mm-hmm. And thanks to Desi, who couldn't be here with us right now, but who helped with some of the programming earlier. Desi, of course, is the previous coordinator of All Access Pass on CITR. So you can find their podcasts on the CITR website for more content about accessibility. DP is on many of those shows as well.
Yeah.
So, and the panel that Desi broadcast today was from the F Word conference, which happened at UBC a couple weeks ago.
Mm.
Yeah. DP, you were at that as well, right?
I did. Yeah. It was really well done. I really enjoyed it. It was my first experience. So they'll have one next year, and I hope a lot of you not only hear about it, but actually attend because there's a lot of information.
Thanks to Jules, homeboy Jules, for the song The Life of Poncho. Thank you, Jules.
Yeah, and Jules stopped by too. Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah.
And thanks to Stefania for working with me on the project that you heard earlier. So thank you. And
Well, hopefully we'll do it again for our fourth year now.
Fourth
annual.
Yes. So the podcasts for everything that we played today will be up on air early next week. So you can go to citr.ca to find those and search Access Day to find the individual podcasts. And that'll all be up there.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out the CITR Twitter for some pictures from today, as well as the Facebook page. Both are just CITR Radio.
And if you want to volunteer at CITR.ca, Our music will be Vancouver Adaptive Music Society. That's on one word, .bandcamp.com/release.
Yeah, so that's some of the music we were playing today. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the broadcast was from the VAMS, the Vancouver Adaptive Music Society album that they put out a few years ago, a bunch of different artists, so you can find that online as well.
And if you want to know more about VAMS, check out their website, www.vams.org.
Great.
Great, yeah. We hope you enjoyed today's 6-hour programming.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thanks, and we'll see you next year.
Bye.
Take care now. Bye-bye.